We are so blessed here in our church family with the gift of music in so many different ways, in so many different styles, forms. We are so, so truly blessed with those who offer their lives, their souls, and their music to us in God's glory. Today is the second Sunday of our stewardship campaign, what we are calling Thanks for Giving. This message today is, why do we tithe? Last week we heard the message, what is a tithe? And found, reflected on the offering of the first fruits, the first tenth, one-tenth of our life to God. The best that we have, not the leftovers, but the best that we have of time and energy and service, of finances and care. And heard God encouraging us all, if we're not there yet, if we're not able to give a tithe, to make a start, to start where we are and as we can, to take a step of faith, the next step of faith. Today we're going to look at the question of why. Why do we tithe? Why give that first 10% of our lives to God? And as we do so, will you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious and loving and generous and blessed God, open our hearts, our minds, our lives to receive what you would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you were here last week, you remember that we looked at God's command from Malachi, the third chapter. Command to bring the full tithe into the Lord's house and thus test God's faithfulness. This is, you may or may not remember, this is the only time in all of Scripture that God gives a general, not a specific to an individual, a general command to test His faithfulness to all of the people, to test His care for us. And then we heard Jesus promise that He comes to fulfill the law and the prophets, how the Lord's presence does not cancel the law, but insists that our discipleship, as followers of Jesus, our discipleship go beyond the bare minimum. One answer to the question of why do we tithe is because the Lord commands it. But we children of God, like all children of God, don't much care for the answer, because I said so, do we? So because we don't care for that answer, because I said so, God explains in Scripture why He gives us the command. We're going to look at two scriptures this morning. Psalm 24, the first six verses of that psalm, and the 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. It's the parable of the talents that's found in the chapter 25. First, we're going to hear Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And then it concludes with that wonderful word, Selah, which means rest and reflect. First answer to the question, why do we tithe? The first explanation God gives us for the command is right there in the first verse of this psalm. Because the earth belongs to God. Not just the earth, and everything in it, but everyone in it belongs to God. It's all the Lord's. It is not true that the Holy One created all that is and then stepped away, left the scene, gave it up, and walked away. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who are in it. God is still involved. God continues to work in and through the creation, and in and through you and me. The same idea is present in the parable of the talents. Let's go to there. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is telling the parable. It'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more." His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Notice what has happened here. The master entrusts to his servant. Actually, the word could be more accurately translated slave. The master entrusted to his slave what belonged to him. The slave's job was to take what belonged to the master and to work with it. So the same idea present in the psalm, that this world belongs to God and we belong to God, is reflected here in Jesus' parable. It's all God's property. We work with that which is another's possession. We are responsible for that which is not our own, but is the property of another. Okay? Let's finish out this. He also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful." That's a fancy word for lazy. "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." Okay, we're going to stop there. The first explanation God gives to us is that all that is God's property, and he continues to work in and through us. We return as a tithe that which belongs to God as recognition. It's not ours. It's not our property. It's a stewardship. It's a trust. The master gives responsibility of his own property to his slaves until he returns. They are to act for him. Doesn't become their property. They receive stewardship of what belongs to another, to their Lord. Why do we tithe? First of all, because all we are and all we have belongs to God anyway. Here and now, he simply asks us to give 1/10, a sign of our recognition. who we are and who God is. And Jesus, in his parable of the talents, is clear that we will have to give an accounting of the stewardship that we've received. One by one, notice, one by one, each slave comes before his Lord, explain what was done and what was the result. The tithe is our investment, folks. It's our working with our talents, participating in the household of God. The tithe is our anticipation of the Master's return, standing before our Lord to give account of our stewardship. Did you notice the result of the work of the faithful slaves? They come before and they say, "Here, Master, you gave me 5 talents. You gave me 2 talents. I bring it back to you and 5 more, 2 more. What was the result? Real question, I'm not fooling. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a little, I'll put you over more. Enter into the joy. There we go, we're going to get there. The result is joy. How many times can you think of the word joy being used in Scripture? The joy of the Lord is my strength. On and on and on and on. God means it for joy, our stewardship. Faithfulness brings joy. The faithfulness of the stewards, the slaves, the servants, brings joy both for the master and for themselves. The same dynamic is at work in the psalm. Can we go back to the psalm? Okay, look there. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his what?
Salvation.
Salvation. There's the sense of deep joy in that verse. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Tithing, like all our responses to God's grace, to the salvation that we have received from our Lord's hands, it will result in joy. At least according to these two scriptures, I think they might have some idea of what they're talking about. Just possibly. As long as we remember the source, that it comes from God, that it belongs to God, just as we belong to God, the result is joy. The second reason we tithe, brothers and sisters, is because God means to bring us joy. You ever notice that the most generous people, I mean, really generous, not those who use gifts and things to manipulate people, the most generous people are the most joyful. Have you ever noticed that? And God, who is joy and peace and love, God gives and gives and gives. What's our favorite verse? For God so loved the world that he gave. Giving, a giving God, a joyful God, a God of love. This is the one we say we serve, we love, we follow. The most generous are the most joyful. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4 here. We were okay. There we go. Okay, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that God intends to purify us, that God means to make you and me holy, that God takes us as we are and changes us to be more and more like Jesus. I think that's what's being said here in this psalm. That God promises to purify, that God promises to make us holy. The Methodist churchy word for this is sanctification. Okay? God intends for us to grow spiritually so that more and more we become to resemble Jesus our Lord. Jesus' parable of the talents, to me, echoes this kind of language. Our stewardship is preparation for greater responsibility. We find it in verse 15, where the master gives to each one according to his ability. We find it in verses 21 and 23, where the master, in response to the faithful servant, says, "You've been faithful in a little, I will give you responsibility for much, for more." So that the process of our stewardship becomes a spiritual discipline to make us more and more like Jesus. It's a tool that God gives to us. These readings speak of our stewardship as part of God's process of sanctification, of growing us as disciples of Jesus, members of God's family. Okay, put on your imagination caps now. Imagine that you are holding tight to something. I mean, it's a big something, right? So it's got to have both hands. You can't just kind of hold it, you know. It's not this, it's... Okay, you got it? You imagine it? It's something big, and it's heavy, and it takes all your strength to hold this. Now somebody comes along and offers you something even more precious. What are you going to do? You can't take the more precious gift. If you are holding so tight to that which you have. And the question becomes, do you have it or does it have you? To let go of the idol of this world, which we tend to think of as money or things or our own choices or preferences, but which is, when you get right down to it, the idol is self. You cannot accept the gift of salvation while you are holding so tightly to yourself and all that symbolizes yourself. You have to let go. I have to let go of Gerald in order to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. Stewardship is a spiritual discipline to help me let go of Gerald so that I can receive Christ Jesus. I've got a picture to show you. This is a photo of a discovery made a few years back by a couple of guys with metal detectors over in England. About 2,000 years ago, for some reason, someone buried thousands and thousands and thousands of coins in this large pot. It's hard to get a scale, but those coins are about that big around. So that gives you some idea. This is about a yard or a little bit more than a yard across. We're not sure how many. We're not sure of the original value of all of these coins because the archaeologists are still trying to very carefully pick apart each individual coin from this hoard of coins. They are estimating that there are over 72,000 coins in this hoard, probably with a value equivalent in today's dollars back then of around $10 million. Just guessing, though, because, like I said, they haven't picked it apart yet. Does that sound familiar? That's what the slave who received the one talent did. He went and buried it in the ground. The talent that the slave received is not an ability like a voice or ability to provide leadership. A talent was a unit of money. It was equivalent to 15 years' pay for an ordinary laborer. That's a lot of money. 15 years' pay. He went and he stuck it in the ground. Why? He was afraid. He's afraid. Fear makes us do all kinds of things, doesn't it? Fear makes me do all kinds of crazy things. Become suspicious of others. I don't know that I really trust them. Hide ourselves and our precious. Attack others that we see as a threat. Believe that we've got to take care of ourselves. I've got to take care of myself. For 2,000 years, this hoard lay hidden in the ground. Try to imagine the impact that kind of wealth would have had on thousands of lives across 2,000 years. Imagine the difference that might have made in this world across 2,000 years. But somebody was scared, and they buried it in the ground. Tithing, generosity of time and service, energy, finances, devotions, worship, caring. Tithing allows us to break the grip of fear. To recognize that God is almighty, not the dollar and not ourselves. Why do we tithe? Because God commands it, of course. But God explains that He commands us so that we can recognize that God is Lord of all that is and everyone who is. Because we are to be stewards. We are never owners, and we will have to give an account for our stewardship. Because God means it to be an instrument of joy. Because it's a spiritual discipline to grow us into greater resemblance of Jesus. And because God wants to break fear's grip on our lives. As we come to the table today to receive the gift of Holy Communion, the very life of Jesus, I ask you, what will you do with this gift? Will you bury it way down deep? Or will you give it? Share it. Will you live it? Lord, thanks for giving. For giving into our care all that is. All we are and all we have, for your promises, for your protection, for the ways in which you shape and form our lives. Amen.